Hey, this is Ashley.
Hey, this is Marcy.
And this is School and Life, a weekly podcast about life, love, and occasionally libations. Make sure you're following us on social, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest at School and Life Pod. That's at S-C-H-O-L-I-N Life Pod. And speaking of following us, if you're following us on Instagram or Facebook, you know that we've been heavily promoting our merch on social. I really love seeing our listeners, followers, friends in School and Life merch. And we have some super cute sweatshirts right in time for fall. So make sure you go to schoolandlifepod.com/shop to get your shop on. We have our crew neck sweatshirts. We have some hot travel tumbler mugs. We've got some makeup bags there, as well as a ton of summer merchandise that's discounted, like tank tops and t-shirts that you can use for layering under your cardigans this fall. So make sure you get your shop on today at schoolandlifepod.com/shop. Our shop is really size inclusive. So we go from an extra small to a 3XL. So whatever your size is, you can find something in our shop that is for you. And you should know that your purchase in the School and Life merch store supports School and Life's production and website and any other costs associated with the podcast. They go right back into developing this for you. So please get your shop on today at schoolandlifepod.com/shop. There's a little bit of everything in there, from coffee mugs to apparel, even journals and calendars. So make sure you get your shop on at schoolandlifepod.com/shop. So this week in Mentor Moment, I'm excited to talk about phone interviews. I know that phone interviews are annoying for so many people, and a lot of people feel like they present better in person. So to get on the phone for 30 or 45 minutes and talk about their skills and interests is really frustrating, or even maybe a little intimidating for a lot of people. But I want to let you know that there is an appropriate way to do phone interviews that can get you in front of the audience that you want to get in front of, that can move you from a phone interview candidate to an in-person interview candidate. And I think one of the primary strategies around that is that when you're on a phone interview, you need to talk less about yourself and more about the organization that you're trying to be a part of. I'm going to repeat that because it bears repeating. You need to talk less about yourself on phone interviews and more about the company, organization, school, you know, that you're trying to be a part of, and less about yourself. And that's because this company already knows a little bit about you, right? They've seen your resume, they've seen your cover letter, but you need to sell them on the fact that you are the right person for this organization so that they can bring you in front of them in the in-person interview. And so I think so often candidates spend a lot of time talking about themselves and their background and their interests and their skill set, but they're not connecting that skill set and interest and passion to the job that they want to be offered. And so then on the back end, anybody that's listening to that phone interview is like, well, you know, I know they're from Ohio and they really are passionate about X, Y, and Z, but how does that connect with this job that we've got in front of us? And so I share 4 strategies about how to win at phone interviews, including how to talk less about yourself and more about the job that you're applying for on our Instagram TV this week. Make sure you check out IGTV at Instagram.com/schoolandlifepod, where you can watch that short video and learn more about how to win at phone interviews. They are an essential part of your interview strategy. Most organizations these days do not want to waste their time having you come in or flying you in or, you know, paying mileage for you to get there only for you to be a flop in person. They want to use the phone interview as a strong screening process. And if you know how to win at them, you will be successful. So make sure that you watch that. It's Instagram.com/schoolandlifepod. And if you're following us on social, I posted it across our social media so you can watch it there as well. Thanks so much for your continued support of this content around Mentor Me. I'm really proud to share that these IGTV videos have reached over 1,000 views. And I'm so proud of that. I'm so glad that you're liking the content and that it's been useful to you. So make sure you check this one out as well and learn how to win at phone interviews. So this week in I Digress, Marcy and I are talking perseverance and the idea of pushing past no. When it comes to dating and relationships, no means no. But when it comes to your own goals and dreams, no may just mean find an alternate path. So often, if we build up enough confidence to even make the ask, getting a no can feel overwhelmingly defeating. Pushing past the defeat to try again or find an alternate route to get what we want can feel like a huge uphill battle. So listen to this week's episode as Marcy and I discuss pushing past no, what alternate paths look like when they're taken in our own lives, and why no is rarely the final answer. So Marcy, to start this conversation, I think it's important to acknowledge that so often people don't even hear no because they never make the ask in the first place. In your own life, can you talk a little bit about how you find enough boldness to make the ask?
I definitely think that the process of finding the boldness is a journey, and that like some people maybe are born with that level of confidence, but for me, I think that it took a while for me to get to a place where I feel like I could ask. I know that in a lot of ways, I've just grown a lot more confident in myself in general. I've grown a lot more confident in my quality and my worth and my value. And I think that that definitely makes a huge difference when I'm considering finding that boldness. I think that knowing your value, knowing that you're an asset and that you have qualities that people benefit from, whether it's work, relationships or not, really is what makes me bold to ask. But also having a certain level of trust is also really important. So for example, in a relationship, in my marriage, like I feel like I can ask tough questions and I can ask tough things because I know that I am supported and I have that trust in that foundation, that relationship. I'm not out here just taking uncalculated risk and asking for things. I think it's very important to think about the safety net and the support and the trust that you have behind something. And that really makes a big difference in how I gain that boldness. What about you, Ashley? How do you find enough boldness to make asks in your life?
I think I'm bold because failure isn't final for me. And I'm not, my ego isn't tied to my failures. Like I fail and I get sad and disappointed and things don't work out for me often. And I'm sad and disappointed, but like, I know that my failures don't define me. Like I know hearing no doesn't define me. I know, I posted something on Instagram the other day, like, as I've grown and developed my mentorship platform, like I've had like, you know, gaps in service, or I've had, you know, clients pull out at the last minute and all that kind of stuff. And that's so disappointing, but I know that their decision not to invest in their career doesn't define me as a mentor, right? Like it doesn't mean that I'm not good at what I do. And so I think that I'm bold because my ego isn't tied up into like winning. My ego is like, if I have any ego around, it's tied up into serving. I'm so committed to this work. I'm so committed to serving my audience. I'm so committed into like making the world a better place, like, you know, in a like general sense, that like when I fail, like I just know that I'm a win in another area. I'm so aware of like my own self that like I just gotta get better. I gotta get tighter with my processes. I gotta invest more in my biz. Like I gotta do better. Like my ego, my life, my worthiness is not tied up into the no. It's not tied up into what somebody's gonna say. Of course I want people to tell me yes, like I'm tied up into winning, right? I am, that's important to me, but not so much so that I am too afraid to make the ask. So I think that just like removing my ego from hearing no helps me balance that. I think when I hear no, like of course it's disappointing. Often my first reaction when I hear no is to self-evaluate. It's to say like, why did they tell me no? What could I have done to get a yes? Or like knowing that like people have the autonomy to tell me no, like they get to decide. I don't get to decide. Like I get to decide making an ask. I get to decide being bold enough to put myself out there, but I can't decide other things for other people. And so it's about me taking that risk and trying not to be defeated by it and making sure that my ego isn't tied into that. So, you know, processing no, I'm typically like, initially I'm offended because clearly if I asked, I am like, I'm being vulnerable. I'm putting myself out here. And then you tell me no. And then I'm just like, so I gotta like do a little ego check, right? Like, okay. Like don't take it personally. And then I try to like figure out, like, I'll go back and self-assess, like, what could you have done differently to get a yes? Was this tied into, you know, some personal failing of your own? Or like, was this person's autonomy? Or maybe I'm thinking like, how can I cultivate a better relationship? You talked about with your husband, right? Like the fact that you can go to him and talk about hard things because you know that y'all can persevere past like no or not right now or whatever. And I think that's really powerful. And so I'm often, when I hear no, I'm often thinking, could I have cultivated a better relationship? Like, is there something I could do to, like, you know, make sure this person can trust me to say yes to me or whatever? So I'm often thinking about it like that. And then I'm quick to for a retool. If I get a no around something that I really feel like I should have got a yes around, I'm like, okay, let me strategize. Let me make better investments. Let me figure out what I need to do. Because I think I internalized that, but not to a detriment, but more to a, how can I improve? So what about you, Marcy? Like, when you put yourself out there, right? When you make that ask, when you're bold and you do that and you hear no, how do you process it?
So, this sounds strange, but I'm a spoiled brat. So I really don't hear no very often. So like I said earlier, I make very calculated asks. So I really significantly reduce the possibility that I'm going to hear no. I think that one of the times in my life where I experienced no without people actually saying it was when I was applying for jobs, right? So like I would get a no in response to a certain job, but it was never, that's one of those places where it's like you expect to hear no's, right? Like you expect that you're not going to get all the jobs offered to you. And I think that while that is discouraging in a lot of ways, kind of similar to what you're saying, is that really kind of thinking about, well, is this job for me? Was this opportunity something that was meant for me? And if it isn't, how do I, again, make calculated asks and find opportunities that are in line with what I want? When I hear no from my husband, that's a very different experience because I just don't feel like there is a reason for you to be telling me no.
Okay, let's be clear. Let's be real clear.
Listen, I have a hard time, and he knows how spoiled I am. He knew that when we first started dating. So, but usually if he, first of all, he barely tells me like actually the words no. It'll just be something like, well, you know, you might want to think about that differently, or that's not necessarily in the budget right now. Like those kinds of things are the ways that he tells me no. But that stings to begin with, like, because I'm used to getting my way so much, it definitely stings. But I really do have to sit back and say, okay, what is his rationale behind that? Does it make sense in my mind? If it does, then I feel a lot better about accepting that, because sometimes no is just no. Like, sometimes you need to hear no, and then you move past it. It's not no, I need to fix it, or I need to try again. Like, sometimes no just means that ain't it for you. And I have to learn to accept that as well and not take it personally. And I've tried to do that very intentionally.
So Marcy, when's the last time you heard no, whether it was like in life as you were, you know, trying to pursue something, or even in your own relationship?
I'm in a process right now of negotiating my salary and my job, and depending on what they say, if they say no to the salary that I want, the alternate route is leaving. Like, there's not a, it's not a matter of let's go back and revisit this, let's talk about it some more. Like, we've already done the talking and the negotiation. So that path is over to me, and finding something different. Like, of course, it's the same route of like a job, but I'm going to go and do something completely different. So I think it just depends on what we're considering to be alternate routes and what it means to just say, like I said earlier, sometimes no just means that that's it and you move on to something else. But I think it really depends on the situation. What about you? When was the last time you heard no? Did you just give up or take an alternate route?
Well, first of all, I am so proud of you for negotiating your salary. I will take some, you know, I will take that on as my own personal mentoring, you know, success story. I feel like in some way I've certainly influenced you. So I'm just so proud. I cannot wait to hear how things go. And I'm excited for this alternate path that you are exploring. You go, girl. So when's the last time I heard no? Girl, I heard no this morning and I wasn't happy about it. But but regularly, because I am bold, right? And I do take risks and I am out here like doing the work, right? And so, yeah, all the time I hear no because I'm a highly accountable person. I am often like trying to figure out what I can do to address, to assess that. And in general, in my life, like I can't really think of a time where no meant no, outside of obviously consent. But like, rarely in my life does no mean no. No usually means, Ashley, you got to do better or take an alternative route. And I think that for me, that's where the perseverance comes in. Like just knowing that no doesn't mean, it might mean the no, it might be the end of that process. It might be the end of that situation, but it doesn't mean no for your life, right? It doesn't mean no for your existence or for your dreams or for your goals. And I think that, you know, for me, I remember being, you know, after my master's degree, thinking like, okay, great. Like I'm done with school. That was cute. But you know, I'm moving into retail management and I'm excited about that work and loved it. I loved how fast paced it was. I loved that I was making good money. I was living in the city that I loved. It was dope. And then I got fired. I got fired because someone stole my keys for the retail owner that I was working for. And that was a fireable offense. And I was devastated. I don't know. At the time, I was probably like 26, 27 years old, like have a whole, you know, rent that's over $1,000, living in Chicago. And I was facing moving back in with my daddy and just, you know, trying to figure it out. So that was devastating. But what I decided was that like that wasn't going to define me. I started looking for work. I got a job working for my university in a research center. And that experience changed my entire life. Now I've been working in higher education for over 10 years. And it was through getting fired, right? Like it was literally through losing my source of income that, you know, I started working in higher ed. I ended up moving to Atlanta for a couple of years, moved back to Chicago, worked in retail management again, and then went back to higher ed. But I would have never even considered higher ed as a career path had I not gotten fired during that time. And so for me, that no just meant explore something else. I mean, I was still gonna eat. Like I have to eat, so I gotta work. So it wasn't a choice of like, well, no means no. I guess I'm just out here. Like, no, I had to figure out an alternate route. And I think that the perseverance for, you know, figuring that out is what makes the difference between, oh, well, that just sucks for me. There's nothing I can do. And, you know, now having a career that I'm passionate about and that I love. And so when you think about alternate routes, what are some of those experiences in your own life where you really had to take like a different pathway to getting what you want?
I would definitely say just like making the decision to go get my doctorate degree was taking an alternate route. I've told y'all several times before, I'm gonna keep saying it because I'm waiting for somebody to come and make me an actress. But I wanted to be an actress, and you couldn't have told me in high school that was not going to be my future. So getting to college and not getting the roles, and that was a huge time to be hearing no, because I was always on stage in high school. I mean, I was the token black girl, so I feel like that just like elevated my availability to be on stage. But in college, that was not happening. Like, I wasn't selected for roles that were leading cast parts and things like that, and so that felt like a huge no, and that made me take an alternate route. I wasn't gonna just drop out of college because I wasn't getting a degree in theater. I just switched it up and decided to go get a doctorate degree. And while it's completely different, like you said, I found one of the most fulfilling parts of my life that I've experienced over the last, 8 years or so. But I also, so I mean, that's one, right? Of like changing your career path and kind of moving in a different direction and thinking about things differently. I think that there's also the alternate route of changing the goal, maybe like changing the end game, right? So some people are really invested in a certain thing, are invested in going to a certain program or taking this one exact route that they're supposed to. So I just think that maybe changing the goal, not maybe the life goal or the overall goal, but really just thinking intentionally about like, does this have to be the only way to get there? Like, if you wanted, if the goal was to go to Harvard, but you get into Boston College or Princeton, like, go to Boston College or Princeton, girl. Like, you're still going to go to an Ivy League school. So sometimes I really do think it's just about reevaluating why you want to do something, what that goal is, and then making a decision to do something different from there. What about you? What are some alternate routes that you would recommend?
Yeah, I do think it's in game specific. I was actually just talking to one of my staff members about their annual goals. And like, she has this really lofty goal to do this really amazing project. It sounds so dope. I'm really excited to see the end of it. But I told her, I said, I mean, you get to create the goal. So instead of saying, like, I want to do this thing this year, maybe you should say, I want to research and develop this thing, and then never say that you actually going to implement it. So that if in the off chance that you do implement it, right, you have exceeded the goal. But if you just investigate and do the research, then you met the goal, right? So, like, sometimes I think it's about, like, it is about the end game and setting yourself up for success. Why, like, you know, this year I paid off over $16,000 worth of debt, but I didn't, like, I don't, when I started it, I wasn't like, I'm going to pay off $16,000 worth of debt. I was like, I'm not going to use my credit cards and I'm going to be debt free. Like, it wasn't like how to do it, like all the details. It was about, like, it was about, I knew that I had to have this priority. And so I think a lot of the rhetoric and feedback you get when you're goal setting, like, you got to be specific, you got to be time measured, you got to, like, but sometimes I think that locks you into something that's not agile. And life is agile. Life is not routine. And so I think that when it comes to alternate routes, like, give yourself some grace and make sure that you are thoughtful about your end game and set yourself up for success. If you know you got a really tight budget and you talk about, I'm gonna save $10,000 this year, like, sis, like, are you even giving yourself a chance to win? Like, you can't persevere through broke. Like, you gotta have some capacity to save. And so for me, I think, you know, it's about being realistic. It's about providing yourself with a little bit of grace, and it's about setting yourself up for success at the output. So, Marcy, earlier I talked about how, like, my ego isn't tied to the idea, to hearing no, and how, and I work actively at that. I'm always trying to make sure that at the end of the day, it ain't about me, but it's about serving others. So how do you balance ego with perseverance? Like, how do we balance, like, yeah, I'm gonna push through, yeah, I'm gonna get to this goal, and, like, the ego that's tied to that around, if I don't reach it, I'm not successful. I'm not, you know, I'm not pacing myself appropriately. I'm not matching with my peers, that kind of thing.
Well, I think first it's important to really consider what your worth is tied up in. So if your worth is tied up in your job, then yes, whatever happens at your job is going to be devastating. If your worth is tied up in a relationship, then whatever happens with your relationship is going to be devastating. So making sure that you understand and know your worth and value separate from things that can change and things that can disappoint you. Because if they're so tied up in other things that you really don't have any control over, then yeah, your ego and your pride are going to be hurt when you hear no, and it's going to make it difficult to persevere. But also, if you are confident in yourself and you quote unquote have a big ego, that helps with perseverance. So knowing that you are a capable person regardless of what the job is, regardless of what the relationship is, then whatever the bounce back has to be, that is within you. That is not based on those external factors. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in the ways that we define ourselves that are outside of ourselves. But the more that you can bring your worth and your value, whether we want to call it ego or not, but the more you can bring that back focused on yourself and your capabilities and what you are able to do, that will allow you more room and more space to persevere.
Oh, such a perfect example, Marcy. Thank you for sharing that. I think that worthiness outside of things, outside of your productivity, is so valuable. You are worthy when you are sitting still doing nothing. You are worthy when you are working your hardest. And that is something to take away from this episode. So what encouragement would you give to women who either are afraid to take the risk to even hear no, or who are regularly being told no in their own lives?
I would say actually what you just said is know your worthiness and know that it's not connected to whatever you're being told no about. If I would suggest that people be like me, like, take those calculated risks, like, no, and not that you can't take a risk if it's not calculated, but really know like what you're talking about and really go into these situations and into these risks, understanding what the risk is, what you're asking for, and why you deserve to be told yes. Because the reason that I'm not often told no is that I have a very valid reason for why I'm asking this question. And so it's more so like, well, I can't necessarily give you this, but let's talk about how we can make this happen. Because I do the research, I do the data, I present the topics that are important that are related to what I'm asking, whatever it is that I'm asking. Stay encouraged, stay motivated. Like, no is a stepping block to the next yes. One time I was doing a sales job and I hate, like I told y'all, I'm spoiled. So I hate hearing the word no or hearing anyone tell me no. But someone said, like, for every no you get, you're getting closer to a yes. And that is so real, though. Like, the yeses are going to come at some point. So just make sure that you keep going, you keep persevering. Like, that's the point of perseverance, is that the yes will come. Just make sure that you know what you're asking for and that you're ready to take on the responsibility of that.
And in the spirit of setting yourself up for success, like, start with something you can give your own validation for, right? Like, don't start with external people telling you no, no, no. Like, what you have permission over, tell yourself yes, and then do that. Like, you don't have control over everything, but like, if you can take a training course for free at the Small Better Business Bureau in town, do that. If you can afford the community college class for $350 a credit hour and you got a grand to spend on learning this thing, do that. If you know your husband is going to be more amenable to this one thing, ask him that, and then ask him about delaying the second baby for 2 more years so that you can do whatever you want to do. Like I just feel like maybe start with some things that you can control so you can build up your confidence around hearing yes, around telling yourself yes, around telling yourself the truth of your life that you are capable and worthy, and then you can get to the harder ones. But honey, you have got to start somewhere, and you cannot let fear cripple you into never taking risks and never even persevering past your own no. Because I think sometimes it's ourselves that's telling us no more than anybody else, because sometimes we're not even taking a risk to like do that work. And so what my recommendation is to be bold enough to take a risk, calculated as it may be, and then know enough about yourself and your self-worth to know that even beyond a no, you are still worthy and capable. And we digress. Next up is All Black Everything. Marcy, what do you have for us this week?
So this week, I just want to make a shout out to a wonderful Black woman that, this is kind of old news, so y'all have probably heard of it already, but it was on my things to talk about on the podcast list, so we're talking about it today. I want to shout out Olympic sprinter Allyson Felix. She broke Usain Bolt's world record. And she's just a really dope woman, but she didn't just break his record. It was after she gave birth, 10 months after she gave birth. So let's just talk about Allyson Felix for a little bit. She is, she's an Olympic sprinter, USA Olympic sprinter. She just won her 12th gold medal at the World Championship on the mixed gender 4x400 relay team. And she now holds the record for the most gold medals at the track and field world championships. But the wonderful thing about her is that she's also an activist. So she was a part of trying to get Nike to like redo their policies and how they changed their maternity policies for their sponsored athletes. She was a part of making them do that, of course, because she's a mom and she's dope and she comes and breaks world records after giving birth. So, you know, she has to be advocating for that. She is amongst some of the most decorated track stars and athletes, just women, Black women in general. And she is now the first athlete to be sponsored by Athleta, that is because she actually put Nike behind her because apparently their policies, which is unfortunate because I was really here for Nike and I feel like they're doing a lot of things for Black people, but I don't understand how y'all don't understand that it's intersectionality and it's not just about Black people, like Black women and Black mothers and mothers in general, like all of these things need all the things. But that's a sidebar. So I just wanted to shout her out because that's dope. And I love that there is so much conversation around women still being women, regardless of their like fertility and around their motherhood and being able to just like go out here and stunt and shine. And Black women have just been taking over the Olympics for the last several years anyway. And it's just wonderful to see the goals and to see her out here shining and representing for all of us, and talk about perseverance and talk about like a quote unquote no, and then coming back and taking an alternate route and doing the things. I just find myself to be inspired by her, and I hope that all of y'all are too.
Absolutely agree, Marcy. I remember reading this story and thinking like 10 months, like your child can't even say their first word yet, and you just out here breaking world records. Like, It is just really impressive. And shout out to her for not only being more than an athlete, right? Like, I love that LeBron James coined that phrase, and like being more than an athlete and just really thinking about like advocacy and endorsements. And I don't know, like you could just be out here like shining, right? Like doing your best life and work in your field, but you are so giving of yourself and of the legacy of women athletes that you're also going to be out here turning down Nike and saying, I won't stand for the policies you have for women. Just phenomenal, amazing. And I think that that definitely deserves a shout out for All Black Everything.
Yes. So this week in TVT, we are going to be talking about Girlfriends, the show, and just how Black girlfriends are represented on TV. So I have always been a huge fan of Girlfriends because it was definitely one of the first primetime television shows that featured and centered on Black women. And what I loved about Girlfriends so much, and what I still love about Girlfriends to this day, is that it shows a spectrum of Black women. So it doesn't show them as a monolith. So Joan was like a lawyer and super career oriented and super focused. Lan was definitely the free spirit. If you think hippie in a Black woman, that is all that she was. Tony was the spoiled Black girl marrying a white man, but just like super extremely spoiled, more spoiled than I am. And then Maya was, she was married, so she had a baby, but then she ended up being like a single mother throughout the show because they ended up getting divorced. So you have all of these different narratives around Black women that are not stereotypical. They were very successful women. So you know, we're used to seeing the battered and bruised Black woman, and that's not what this show is about. I mean, Joan couldn't keep a man to save her life, but like it just shows so much diversity amongst Black women. It was back in the day where we weren't talking about that, right? Like, we weren't necessarily advocating as much as we are now for representation and for different images of us on TV, but there they were doing that. And I was so sad that that show didn't get renewed, but I am really excited that they did a mashup episode on Blackish. I have not seen it yet. We are so behind on Blackish. We tried to catch up over the weekend, but just a lot going on. But I'm really excited about that because one, Tracee Ellis Ross, which I know I have talked about on this show before, is freaking amazing. And her co-stars were freaking amazing. And they deserve the limelight and all the shine that they get. And I really, like, I would love to see a new rebooted version of Girlfriends with them wherever they are in their life right now. But I know, Ashley, that you know Sisters is coming out on BET. And I think that that's supposed to be the modern version of this show. So tell us more about that.
I'm so excited about Tyler Perry's Sisters. You know, last week on the show, we talked about Tyler Perry and his work with BET and developing Sisters. And I'm just really excited to see Black women directed by a Black man and, you know, portrayed on TV in a positive light. Also, I think that, you know, BET does do a good job with scripted series. And so I think that they'll do a good job with this, and I'm excited to see it. The show stars KJ Smith, Ebony Obson, Migon Bond, and Vonnie Brown. They're all actresses that have been prominent in other series and will come together on this series. Apparently, they have a multi-year deal already, so we know at least we're getting a couple of seasons. And I'm excited because it talks about the fact that the show follows a group of single Black women from different walks of life who really bond over the common theme, why am I single? I'm really hoping that Tyler Perry does not pull the one of them got AIDS for being promiscuous. Like, I'm really hoping he don't do that. He's learned from that poor lesson. and he's doing better now. But I definitely am excited to see this show. And I think that the more representation we can get on TV talking about Black women and our stories and our struggles and what works for us and what doesn't, the better. Because like you said, Marcy, we are not a monolith. And being reminded of that in media is so important. Full disclosure, I wasn't really allowed to watch TV when I was younger, when Girlfriends was popular. So I've actually never seen an episode, but I'm going to start with a Blackish mashup and then I'm going to go back and make sure that I watch Girlfriends. Y'all know I love a good like binge. And so I've got to find it maybe on Amazon Prime TV or maybe Hulu or something where I can watch it in full because I'm really excited to see it. And if you are a Girlfriends fan, make sure that you let me know what my top episodes should be, because I can start with those first. I'm okay with watching stuff out of order, but I can't wait to see it and learn more about it. So, Marcy, thank you for leading TVT this week and talking about your passion and love of Girlfriends. So that wraps up the show this week. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that if you're not already following us on social, you do that. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest at School and Life Pod. Also, as a reminder, if you're not already signed up for our email list, do that. You are missing out on some gems in our email list. This week, I wrote an email about giving grace or saying grace and the importance of that in your personal and professional life. And it was good. It was good because I wrote it, but it was also when I got the email this morning, I was reminded of the importance of giving grace. So make sure you sign up for that. You can do that at schoolandlifepod.com. Have an amazing week. School is out. Class dismissed.